You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Lord Jesus, we do lift you up this morning. We lift up your name. Without you, we have no hope of righteousness, but with you and your cleansing blood, Lord, and your holy and the Holy Spirit inside of us, Lord, we can live a righteous life and bring you honor and glory. We exalt you this morning, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's take our seats. We have a few announcements we're going to get into before we get into the Word today. Steve has a really special message for us that I think is going to knock your socks off. I'm just going to set the bar real high for him. Well, he is Steve Barr, so he shouldn't really worry about that. So we're going to have Mark come up. Mark's got a couple of cool announcements. Marcus.
Howdy. Okay, I just have two quick announcements. The first one is Armed and Dangerous 4. Guys, if you haven't signed up, it's time to fish or cut bait. Time to do it. Now, listen, I know that you all know what Armed and Dangerous 4 is, and I also know that if you haven't signed up for it, you know you need to sign up for it. So the table is in the back, just outside the doors, and I really want to encourage you to come. It'll be a great time of getting to know other people. You know, sometimes we go to a church for a while, and maybe you don't feel like you're completely connected. Well, this is a great way to do it. This is one of the avenues that you can take. So I encourage you to come. It'll be a time of renewing, refreshing, relaxing on the shore of Lake Tahoe. It's at Zephyr Point. And you will not regret going. Number two, men's barbecue is next Saturday, 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And if you haven't signed up for that, I want to encourage you to do it because you also know you should do that. Now, we're going to do something a little different this time, something we haven't done before. We're going to have a little friendly competition. And here you go. Now, that's going to be one of the prizes. This is the 75th anniversary Red Ryder BB gun. Now, listen, this is your grandpa's BB gun right here. Your grandpa shot that BB gun. But we also have, and if our able assistant will come... This will be the grand prize. This is a Benjamin 177 pellet gun. Look at this, 1,500 feet per second. That's faster than a 22. So I want to encourage you to come, and you'll have an opportunity to compete for that or that, and then we're going to have a raffle for another thing. So no, girls cannot participate. Sorry. Well, that's why we're not letting them participate, because she'd win. Okay.
It's kind of like when you let your wife near the barbecue and you figure out she's better at making wings than you are. You don't let it happen again. All right, I have a few announcements that I wanted to touch on this morning just really quickly before we get into it. First off, you all know I'm a very quiet man of contemplation and a few words, but I just can't help but get passionate about Rise Up. Rise Up is coming up this summer. It's our youth conference we go to every year. It's fantastic. If you have a teenager or you are a teenager, you should already know about it. If you don't, please come and talk to me. If you know a teenager, they probably already know about it, and they're probably going to hit you up for money. But anyway, it's a fantastic time. But the second Rise Up informational meeting is this Sunday, right after second service in C4, the room out there. Sorry. Not this Sunday, next Sunday. Next Sunday, right after service in C4. The Rise Up information meetings are great because that's where you can get information about Rise Up. That's why we called it that. And the deposits are due next Sunday. So it's a $50 deposit. That's money we need to send down to Restoration LA to reserve our spot at the conference. So if you're going, if you're on the fence, anything like that, get off the fence, jump over the fence, you're going. So just come to the meeting already and just give up. Just say, oh, we're going down there. Even if you don't have the money together, if you have faith to go, you're going to go. So come to the meeting, get the information, get your deposit in, and we want to see you down there this July. The second thing is that next Sunday, also after second service, we are having water baptisms. So we're going to have a Rise Up meeting right after the water baptisms. We're not going to do them both at the same time. If you haven't been baptized and you've said yes to Jesus, you're getting baptized next Sunday. because getting baptized is the first thing that Jesus asked us to do when we got saved. So it is not only something that we are doing in obedience, and we've learned all about obedience this year, it's also fun, and it's a great time. You are publicly declaring to everybody that you are going to follow Jesus. It's the middle of the summer. It's going to be hot anyway. It's going to be fantastic. You don't have to be like those polar bears who get it done in November and are out there shivering. It is going to be fantastic. So if you need any information about that, there's the information booth in the back. They have information there. You can sign up for it, and you can get that done. All right? You guys ready? All right, Steve. I'm going to pray for Steve really quickly. And then we're going to get into the word. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for Steve and the gift that he is to this body. Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts for the word that you've given him that he is about to give to us. Lord, we want to go away from this place having recognized the anointed words that you have for our lives. We want to be changed. Lord, we want to grow more and more every week. We want to grow more and more like you. Amen.
Amen. A very warm welcome once again to everybody here today. Don't you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Man, I love coming together and worshiping him together with the saints. And by the way, you're the saints. The Bible says you're the saints. If you said yes to Jesus, if you're a Christ follower, you are a saint. And you don't have to be dead for 300 years and see a couple miracles. You're a saint. You're a living saint. And God has called you to that. But to understand to an increasing degree, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. When Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners, he wasn't just sounding religious. He really knew the grace of God. And more and more, as we live for him, serve him, and encounter him day by day, the love grows deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm so glad to be on this journey with you guys. Thank you for being here at our third weekend service. At Westside today, we've got a few things going on. One is I want to do a little quick report about our patio back there and the parking lot. About 4 months ago, we started taking a special offering. If you recall, we needed to raise about $25,000 for the parking lot, about $25,000 for the patio and preschool playground. So far, it's getting close to about $30,000 has come in, which is awesome. We were able to pay for the parking lot remodel cash. We've been able to get started on the back here. If you want to take a peek around without going back there and messing up the grading, there's going to be a big patio back on this side, and then over on this side over here, there's going to be a preschool playground. It's going to be surrounded by a wooden fence, and it's going to be very nice. We're going to have a big covering and great for fellowship. We put those two doors in the back of the foyer to go straight out there just to expand our fellowship area. So thank you very much for those who have contributed and prayed in that. We could still use a couple of $10,000 checks. So you guys might laugh, but every once in a while, God blesses somebody. Some of you have the gift of giving. Many of you have the gift of giving $5 or $10 or $100. And so just if the Lord lays that on your heart, there's no pressure. And but we want to complete that project without having to borrow any money or anything like that, which we won't borrow money for it. So we'll do it as the money comes in. The next thing that's very exciting for me is a change for Paul and Andrea. I'm going to ask them to come up here. This is Paul and Andrea Kojula. Paul's one of our elders here, one of our pastors. Pastor, elder, synonymous here at Westside. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 3, he said, I, Peter, an elder, a fellow elder, exhort you elders to shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight and not doing it under compulsion, but being examples to the flock. Well, those three verses of elders leading the local church are a perfect picture of parents leading the home. You're the elders. You're the mature ones, supposedly. And you are exercising oversight over the whole household and its affairs. And you are shepherding or gently leading those, not pushing those, but being examples to the flock. The home is a microcosm of the church. The church here at Westside, we see in the New Testament that the church is led by a team of elders. Paul's one of our elders. Paul and Andrea have positioned themselves and are at a place in their life where they believe that God is calling them to lead a church. And so we are asking the congregation here at Westside to pray with them during this process. They've done a lot of work to get up to this point. They were missionaries in Poland for a few years. Some of you guys didn't know that. Andrea speaks better Polish than Paul. And even though he tried to preach once in Polish, and he did, yeah. They were doing sign language up behind his head while he was, no. But they've been experienced in ministry. They know what it is to sacrifice. They have simplified their life. The adoption with their boys is over, and they've made some major simplifications, modifications in their life. It's a very exciting time for them. It's a very tenuous time. It's a very vulnerable time. So here's what you can do to help them out. Don't ask them when they're going, because they don't know. Don't ask them where they're going, other than heaven, you know. But don't ask them where they're going to go lead a church, because they don't know yet. They're asking you to partner with them in prayer as they are in this season where, so to speak, the prophetic word, I think, at hand is they're at the starting block, and they're waiting for the gun to go. They've gotten ready, got their shoes on, got their track clothes on, they've positioned themselves, but they don't go until God says go. And so it could be leading a church somewhere that's in distress, kind of like what Terry and I did 15 years ago. I'll talk a little bit about that later. But whatever it is, God has great things ahead for them. Now, God might be speaking to you about going with them when they go. And so make sure that it's for the right reasons. And come and talk to me about it if you think that. Make sure it's not, you're not going because you're their friends. That's probably one of the worst reasons to go with somebody planning a church. Make sure that you're only going because God is drawing you to that and calling you to that. And you've made the same preparations. Because we don't want to export unhealth. We only want to export health. And so your marriage needs to be, you know, right, solid. Your finances need to be solid. All those things preparing to be part of that. But we've been involved. I said five last time, but it's really only four. Four significant church plants that we've been involved in deeply in the last few years from this church. And we believe that that's a New Testament pattern of starting local congregations, collections, groups of believers that will be a light in their local region. Partnering with an apostolic prophetic team, partnering with other churches around the world. So will you extend your hands forward as we pray for Paul and Andrea? Father, we thank you for Paul and Andrea. Thank you for blessing them.
Yes, Lord.
God, we thank you for positioning them for such a time as this. I pray that you continue to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I pray that you would protect their hearts right now. Guard their heart above all else, for from it flows the wellspring of life. Father, I pray that you give Paul and Andrea strategy. I pray that they would see clearly the doors that are opening for them. And Father, I pray that as that day comes, that we will rejoice with them and rejoice with you. Thank you, God, for them. They're a gift to this family. We love them. We honor them today, God. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. You can certainly help by praying into the situation. If you ever have a word of encouragement, a verse or something, please send it their way. So, we are in a series on the commands of Jesus. Surprise. And we're going to continue on. We're pretty much planned out through July and with the final commands of Jesus that we want to cover. I was going to speak today on abide in me or remain in me, Jesus says in John 15. About an hour before Thursday night when I preached the first time, I just felt something in God. It doesn't happen very often for me because, you know, most people might use the word anal around me because I'm all rigid and everything. I just use the word thorough. All right? My kids said, yes, thoroughly anal. So I like to have things all in order and all that kind of stuff. It's just the way God wired me. And so, but I don't want to make the mistake of having God saying, God, you bless my dreams. You bless my wishes and desires instead of me saying, God, I want to follow you. Wherever you're leading, Holy Spirit, I want to follow you. So I felt a definite leading of the Holy Spirit to say, take this message that Kim ran off the notes for already and that you have already, that Eugene did the projection notes for. Eugene walks up Thursday night and said, Eugene, I said, I changed my sermon. And he goes, all of it? Like this. So, and anyway, so that kind of thing throws a little hitch in there. But I knew that God wanted me to do a preamble to the message of abide in him, remain in him. So that's what I'm going to do today. It's a little bit of our story. It's a little bit of a different kind of talk. But I pray that God will grip your heart through it. It's actually a testimony of his faithfulness. I kind of mentioned a bit about it in my blog on Friday that came out. If you don't get that, by the way, please sign up. Throw your email at the Welcome Center, and every couple of weeks or so, we send out an e-newsletter from Westside Church. Most of the time, not all the time, but I'll have a blog in there of where we're at as a church. So Jesus commanded us to stay connected, to stay steady, to stay faithful in those things. So I'm going to read the original passage that I'll read again in a couple weeks. By the way, some of us are going. Joe, do you mind standing up? Mike, stand up. Is Mike Senior here today? Okay. Oh, we called him out. You can just tell him that. So, the four of us are going to go to Canada this week up to the geographical training time up in Quesnel. So please pray for us as we'll be up there next weekend. Mark will be preaching next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to be a great weekend. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true grapevine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be faithful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Don't take that out of context. Dear Lord, make my sister turn into a lizard. You know, it's not going to happen. It has to be in the will of God. All right? So don't take that too far there. But God does want to us to partner with him in his dreams. And dream big dreams. Dream big dreams. Sometimes your dreams are too small. I didn't say that to any of the other services. Just want to pause there for a second. Don't put a limit or a ceiling on what you think God can do. Don't think that you're bothering him with your prayers. Don't think that he's too busy solving world hunger and war and AIDS and all those things, taking care of Monsanto. It's not too big. Don't get concerned about things. God's not fussed about those things. God is God Almighty. He knows the number of hairs on your head, the Bible says, and he knows what you're going through, and your request doesn't add to his stress load. He can take care of it all, and he doesn't get winded, and he doesn't get tired. And those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All right? Remain in him. So, and don't forget to ask him for anything according to his will. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with joy, my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. How many times in that passage did Jesus say, remain in me, stay in me, abide in me, stay connected to the vine, stay connected to my body. Jesus is the head of the church. Stay connected. If you're severed, you don't produce fruit. He's saying, stay steady, stay faithful. And that's part of this command. But today I want to share a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Westside Church has been going about 32 years now, and God has been faithful. It started out as a Bible, several Bible studies, and collected together. And up in the Pleasant Valley Grange, they met for a while, and they became a Vineyard Christian Fellowship of Placerville. And after a few years, my friend Rick Martinez, he took some people from the church, was healthy, several hundred strong, went down and planted a church in Sacramento. And the church that remained up here went along for a few years. They purchased some property over on B Street. And about 1995 or so, there was a little bit of an implosion, and there was no pastor, and there was four faithful leadership couples that were leading the church. And the church kind of declined a bit over a few years. And Terry and I, at the same time in 1995, we received a prophetic word. We were at a conference in Australia, and we received a prophetic word, prepare 5 years. So that's a very specific word, isn't it, that you're going by? No, we just heard prepare 5 years. We didn't know what was happening. We were both in our dream jobs. I was a superintendent of a Christian school system. I loved that job. I loved thinking up things to do and have other people do them. I just loved that kind of stuff. It was so fun. I had 120 employees and hundreds and hundreds of school kids. I started a high school and we finished it, took it to full accreditation, and it was a well-known school. We had 300 homeschool families. We were a pioneer in being a covering for homeschool families in the late 80s, early 90s. And I loved that job. Terry was an attorney in Orange County. She was always for justice. Can you imagine that Terry is a fighter? And so we were doing our dream jobs. Our son just got married. Our daughter was living at home in school. And we knew that God was positioning us to do a midlife change, kind of like Paul and Andrea. And so we can totally identify with where they're at. It was a vulnerable time. It was an exciting time. It was, you know, God, what are you going to do? And so we received a request in early December of 1999, right before Y2K. Remember Y2K? Ooh, like this. All right. So if it ever happens again, we're just all going to Mark's house. So he lives on a high hill, defensible all the way around. So we'll go head to the hills there. So Dudley Daniel, who led the NCMI team at that time, he and his wife Ann sat down with Terry and me. And Dudley said, there's a struggling church up in Placerville. It needs some help. They love Jesus, and things aren't going so well there. And so we went up, and I preached there the Sunday before Christmas in 1999. It was December 21st, I believe. And 25 people showed up. 25 people showed up. Jan was there. Larry was sick. He got bitten by a Sasquatch or something. And I'm just looking. Who else was there that day? Mike and Patty. They were playing hooky that day. No, it was Christmas because it was there. And Katie was Terry's in my very first hospital visit. She was an infant. She had heart surgery and led her dad to the Lord. He was the first person I led to the Lord up here. And it was an exciting time. I cleaned out my garage. Talk about switching subjects.
Thanks.
I didn't make it through the first service. About 8 months ago, I was cleaning out my garage and thoroughly anal. And so I found this old box of these treasures. Young people, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. Listen, they're called cassette tapes. All right? I found this box of cassette tapes. And on there, there was a, it said, prayer meeting for Steve and Terry Barr, Southlands Church. March 1st, 2000. Well, I'd never listened to this tape. And here it was now over almost 15 years old at that time, and I'd never listened to it. So I pulled it out and started listening to it. And it was a prayer meeting from our old church, Southlands, because it was on Wednesday night. The following Sunday, they were going to send 50 people up to Placerville when they officially set Terry and me in to take leadership of Westside. And so our friends in Sacramento, Rick Martinez, their church, they sent 50 people up. And then by that time, our church had, Terry and I had come back and forth every weekend through January and half of February. And by then, we had exploded. We were like double in size. We were like 50 people. And so there was like 150 people at B Street. It was packed out. And I saw, God said, this is where this church is going. And this church will be too small for you in not too long of now. And it was so exciting to see what God was going to do ahead of time. And they prayed for us. And they set us in on there. But the Wednesday before, they had a prayer meeting that I never knew about, that I never heard about. And so I listened to this tape, and they started, their style is kind of like ours, where somebody will come up at a microphone, and they'll pray, and everybody will agree with them in prayer, like what we're going to do. By the way, this Wednesday night at 6:30 is our all-church prayer. Once a month, we call all Westside together to pray, and that's what these meetings are for, is to pray outward and to pray that God will impact people, and you got to pray for each other too, and to see God move in mighty ways. But Southlands, they're like really, it's like on steroids and, you know, monster drinks and all this kind of stuff. It was like really amped up prayer meeting. But we believe that God speaks things to us, and we pray them, and we agree on them. If you agree on anything in my name. And so I began to write down the things that they were praying for us, 15 years ago, before they knew us. They didn't know us from Adam. They hadn't even visited us yet. And there was a bunch of people down there praying for us. And so here's what they are. They prayed for 10 things. I wrote these down. I didn't just pick 10 things out of what they prayed. I wrote down what they prayed for. And there was 10 basic things that they prayed for. And they say, okay, I'm hearing God say this, and everybody praying to that. Here's what they prayed for you and for me. They prayed that we'd be a prophetic people, hearing God and responding in obedience. They prayed that our church would look forward and not be stuck in the past. They prayed that God would give clear steps of vision in order for Steve to lead. They prayed that we would not be a clone of any church, any one church, but live out God's plan for Placerville. They prayed, this is the biggest one to me, that Jesus' name would be lifted loud and clear throughout the Placerville region. They pray that God would add mighty men and women of God to partner with Steve and Terry. They pray that limiting ceilings would be busted off what we think God can do in the future and break off what limits us today. They pray that our church would be known for passionately loving Jesus throughout this region. Is that like double there? That's good. We doubly love Jesus. They pray that our people wouldn't be stuck in the pews, but get out and represent Jesus. They pray that God would bring the broken and restore them and bring the lost to Jesus. So, 15 years ago, praying prophetically, seeing what God wanted, that's 10 for 10. That's quite an impactful prayer meeting from 15 years ago that still impacting this church today. Because God is eternal and time doesn't mess him up. You don't know what effect your prayers have for the people you're praying for. Don't give up praying. Don't give up being tenacious. Don't give up staying connected to Jesus, abiding in him, receiving a life flow from him so you can bear fruit and produce good fruit. Don't give up. That's incredible. I'm so blessed that I was able to find that and be encouraged by that and bring encouragement to this body. That's an effective prayer meeting. And that's what happens when we come together and pray. That's what happens when your family prays. That's what happens when your home group prays. That you're intervening on human history in the name of Jesus and partnering with his plan, hearing his dream and vision for you and your kids and your loved ones. So, the following Sunday, after I set in, my first preach, after, you know, official, March 5th of 2000, I preached a sermon to them because it was like, you know, the signing was on the ink. Everybody who was here took a big risk. They didn't know us. They didn't know our kids. They didn't know our track record. They just took somebody else's word for it. And so we had to slowly build this partnership and trust level with each other. But I said, I preached a sermon and said, okay, this is where we're headed. That was my job, is to lead, and I want to paint a clear picture. And I just want to say, from over 15 years later, just see if any of this rings true to you today. I first of all said that God did a radical thing by bringing Terry and I to the church about halfway through its history now, the people received us, and we came up here, and our house sold there in 2 days, and God made a way, and we moved up here on Valentine's Day of 2000, and God was doing some good stuff. It was a radical thing. So we weren't going to do the same old, same old. If God did a radical thing in bringing us here, we're going to do a radical thing ministering to this region. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. If you're tired of the same old, and you keep doing the same thing, you're going to have the same old. You got to ask God for a strategy. So here's a strategy God gave us. One, that over the next little while, I told the church this, I said, we're going to take the pews out. We almost lost Patty on that one. She came up to me afterwards, and she goes, I don't know if I'm your friend anymore. So, it's just as sweet as she is today. So, I said this. I said, we'd probably change our name. You know, here's the kind of the problem, because the weeks earlier, I said, no, we're not going to make changes right away. I should have defined right away. Because to me, right away is not today. But, you know, maybe next week or something. Other people, right away meant like, you know, a year or two from now. We'll just take it easy, you know, get your feet wet or this kind of thing. I said, no, we're going to do it now. So we changed our name from Family Christian Fellowship to Westside Church. And I said, we're going to evaluate every aspect of this church. Everything we do. Every sacred cow. Everything precious to Aunt Mildred. You know, everything that we do is going to be evaluated in the light of this. God's Word. We're going to be a New Testament church, patterned after the New Testament, as much as possible. Yes, they lived 2,000 years ago. Yes, there's New Testament churches all over the world meeting today, some in grass huts in Indonesia, some in cathedrals in Europe, some under a tree in Africa, some in an igloo, you know, in the north, northwest, somewhere. I don't know. But there's people in different styles, but it's still a pattern here, very simplistic pattern that we see in Scripture. And so, not according to yesterday's revelation, or something that we received, and we're going to keep doing it the same old way, but we're going to hear from God and move in obedience. And I said, we're going to emphasize the following basics. See if these ones sound clear. And you can come up. This is my notes. These are my original notes from March 5th. I have all my notes in big three-ring binders up until about 3 years ago when I started using this. And so now it's all digital, but I have all these. So I pulled these out, and I said, here's what we're going to emphasize as a church. Our weekend services, our small groups, and prayer. So we said 15 years ago. When Jesus says, abide in me, stay connected, stay consistent, stay steady, he wants us, staying steady doesn't mean stop. It means focus on Jesus and keep moving that direction. Like God told Joshua, he goes, don't look at the right, don't look at the left. You keep on going this direction I told you to. So God said, go this direction, and by his grace, by his faithfulness, by nothing that we've done, but focusing in on Jesus and trying to be obedient as radically as we can, this is our same focus today. We ask people at Westside, come to one of our weekend services. Getting involved in a small group. Why? Because the New Testament says they met in the temple and from house to house. We need the corporate gatherings, the celebrations, the worshiping God together, the hearing the word of God together. And we need to be in small groups where somebody knows your name. Yeah. And they know your kids' names. And you pray together. Yeah. And you get together. That's why we have the sky's the limit on our small groups. It can be a ladies' Bible study. It can be youth. It can be junior high. It can be home groups on Sunday night or Tuesday night or Friday night, or if you're slightly rebellious, Wednesday night. And it could be any connection of believers getting together in the local church. That was a joke. A local church. We have a small or a four-wheel drive small group. It doesn't matter. Whatever your passion is, get people together around the name of Jesus so that we can love and care for each other, encourage one another, spur one another along toward love and good deeds. And so meeting together, meeting in houses, and getting together regularly to pray. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread and fellowship, and to prayer. That's where we got it. We just didn't make it up. And we said ongoingly, we're going to teach a vision and values class, what we believe, where we're headed. We call that Westside 101. We'll have one in the fall. Here, we have ongoing leadership training, where we're training, raising, equipping up leaders. And we'll have a specific teaching series. And the big three in North America are finances, marriage, and parenting. And so we're always, here we are doing the same thing 15 years ago. That's by God's grace. And we're going to do friendship stuff. We're going to have some picnics. And we got our big picnic this summer at Lions Park, and we're going to have our softball tournament again. We're going to have a barbecue and kids' games. And we like to do fun things, but the reason is because we want to demonstrate life to the lost. We want to demonstrate wholeness and health to people and be an attractive thing to offer people. We want to demonstrate a generous lifestyle in our giving and our loving our neighbor and caring for one another. And we're going to do outreaches here and away and those kind of things. So at that time, I told the church that our vision was upward, inward, and outward. That's our prayer pattern, is upward, inward, and outward. Upward because first and foremost, we radically love Jesus. Totally sold out for him. All in. Nothing held back. That's first. Upward. We worship him wholeheartedly. I love to worship. I love to teach young people about worship. Young people, be radical in your worship. We have the word praise. There's seven main words for praise and in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and you can read some of the accounts of King Jehoshaphat, and the armies are coming against them, and they call together, and they pray, and it says they sent the worshipers and singers ahead of the army to fight this formidable foe. Worship team, you're first, okay? Then the Navy SEALs behind you, and the SWAT teams are behind them, all right? But the worshipers and singers are first. You go out there, and it says they praised, but they use different words for praise. One of the Hebrew words for praise is yada. Everybody say yada. Yeah. All right. Not Yoda. Yada. All right. Yada is the spontaneous flinging of the arms in upward victory. It's a human emotion that God put in you. You just watch the next time the kids score a goal in soccer. Wah! Like this. You watch in slow motion when Tiger sinks a putt and all the crowd, thousands of people. I've watched this. Terry could tell you. Terry, come here, watch this. This is yada, like this. And the putt goes in and all the crowd, thousands of people behind you on a telephoto shot, they go. God put that there to praise him for his victory. All right? So it says they went out praising. That was yada. Then it says they tehillahed. Tehillah is another Hebrew word for praise. Not tequila. Tehillah. And it's something we don't much do in North America. But all any ladies who can do the shrill la 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 thing, do that. Yeah, okay, that's it. That is perfect, all right? That's totally Middle Eastern. You've heard that before. That's like a positive thing in that culture. We don't have anything like that, like in our services. The closest thing we have in North American culture is probably a yee-haw. That's about as close as we get to something being shrill and like, you know, there's no sense to that. What does that mean? And so it just means you're excited, you know, you're praising God. Another Hebrew word for praise is halal. Halal is where we get the word hallelujah, or praise God, or hallelujah. It's morphed into. But it means halal, yah, praise God. You know what halal means? Clamorously foolish. Oh, hallelujah. That is not clamorously foolish. So when we praise God, I mean, and you know what happens when we praise God? We get our eyes off of our problems and we let God fight on our behalf. So when those praisers and worshipers came up over the hill, they saw the whole valley dead of the foe. God sent the angels ahead, and they had to do nothing. So the worshipers and singers go, wow, like this. And it took them 3 days to pick up the spoil. I'm telling you, God loves it when we worship and praise. So that's upward. That's our vision, is to praise God because of him, to worship him unabandonedly. And then inwardly, we want to focus in on our body, not in a selfish way, but in a we want to be healthy way, so that with a healthy body, we can reach out. You're no good to anybody when you're sick. When you're healthy, you're good to others. When you're bearing fruit, you're good to others, when you're connected. So upward, inward, outward. So in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, probably this is Paul. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, what's that? That is the good message that when Jesus died on the cross in the temple, the veil was ripped from top to bottom, signifying that we now have the access into the presence of Almighty God without being consumed by our sin because he's declared us righteous. We now have a right to come into his presence. And it says here, since we have that right, verse 22, let us draw near to him with a sincere heart. We don't have to be afraid of him anymore. We can draw near to him. We can love him. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we say we have. Not giving up. In verse 22, let us consider how we may spur one another along toward love and good deeds. A healthy body encourages one another. You know, and sometimes when you're down, sometimes when you have a bad attitude, the last thing you want to hear from somebody is encouragement. That's why it's called spur. Hey, get your head up out of the sand. Look at the good things that God has done. Sometimes we need a friend to tell us the truth and say, God is on the throne and he loves you. He's the supreme being of the universe and he's eternal and he's invited us into his family and to be part of his presence. And you can only do that when we're healthy and strong and encouraging one another. So, come on, you guys, we can do this. We can make it. Do you ever see a healthy football team and they're slapping each other on the head and the back. Come on, you guys, we can do this. We can finish what we started. How do we do this? Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as the day is approaching. Is the day approaching? You better believe it is. All the more we need this encouragement as the day approaches. Young people, if you can grab hold of this truth that you need to stay connected to the body of Christ, you need to be connected to the vine. It doesn't matter where you are in your sphere of influence. You will lead your next generation. You'll be the leaders. You'll be the ones that will be an anchor for your friends that are in total desperation. All this is the faithfulness of God. It's just, I just give glory to Him for a body of believers here for 32 years that love Him. We don't think we're it. We're part of it. It's what He's doing. It's His body, not ours. We're just doing what He's called us to do. Matthew 5, I want to give you this final exhortation. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who's in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this encouraging word. We do want to be a people that are steadfast, steady, abiding in the vine, remaining in you. God, give us the grace, we pray, to accomplish this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. All right, if you can, let's stand up. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to end in praise, giving the Lord what is due to Him. We have the elements here in the front and the back to take communion. He asked us that as often as we would to remember Him, so we remember His sacrifice, His blood, which makes possible living a victorious life. And we have our baskets for giving up here in the front and the back. Again, if you do feel led to give to the special project, just put that on the envelope or the check. Just say for special projects. So let's worship together, and let's dwell on what the Lord is saying today, to remain in Him and abide in Him, and what that means, and what that means in our life. We may have to make changes or tweaks, but that's okay. We want to do that.